praise the Lord. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? What a day in the Lord.
Amen.
My, my. And I just believe to tell you that tomorrow, your Monday is going to be different. God has a purpose for each and every person in this place. Tomorrow, they're going to see the glory of God shining on your faces. Something changed in our lives today in this place. God did something great.
Amen.
Amen. And if you'll just grab that and hang on to it and take it to wherever it is you have to go tomorrow and speak the goodness of God. Like Sister Jenkins said, speak the goodness of God. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles this afternoon and evening, good Lord, to the book of Mark. The 16th chapter. In verse 20, says this, Sister Jenkins, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming what they had to say with signs following. And then I'm in the book of John, the 15th chapter. And verse 5. Says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather him and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, notice the connection, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. For what reason? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? Oh God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Amen. So Mark 16 and 20 again says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So just like the Lord being the vine and us the branches, it was them that went forth, or the disciples of God, but the Lord confirmed his word through them, so they were connected to the source. And Saturday morning in prayer, What an awesome time in here. But the Lord and Pastor shared it this morning, told us to focus on Him and allow for our faith to be in Him. And I almost thought that I was going to get out of here tonight without having to speak, and the Lord was just going to take over this thing, and we were going to have one of those blowout services. But He didn't do that, and I believe it's for this reason, that I simply can teach you something from the Word of God tonight, and you can leave here realizing who you are. We can realize who we are in Him. And He would have it that we would shine in such a time as this. Think it not strange that these fiery trials have come upon you. But in that trial, we can shine for Him. Brother Monday, in a situation, now look, if you and I were going to pick a way that we could do something for Jesus, I'm certain those wouldn't be the circumstances, and we wouldn't say, well, let me see, I think if I would cut my finger in a table saw, I could go to the emergency room and I could talk. I don't think that's how we would do it. But in all things, that He might have the preeminence. In all things. And we can leave here feeling honored that the Lord has selected you and I to represent Him to this world. And they are going to see that there's something different about the church. You know, I was thinking as we sang that first song tonight that there could be a couple different meanings out there in the world about the church is on fire. And I'm glad that when we say the church is on fire, it's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So John 7 and 38 says this, He that believeth in Me, as the Scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But in order for something to flow out, you must first put something in. And the beauty of it is that God has taken care of that for you and for I, and He has invested in us, and He has put something in us that is greater than anything that this world could ever even dream of coming up with. And it's His power, His Spirit, if you will. And if we'll go to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, and it's a familiar portion of Scripture to all of us. Ezekiel 36. And verse 26 says this, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes, and ye shall keep My judgments and do them. I just would like to call your attention to noticing here again that He puts His Spirit in us, and the Spirit gives us the ability to walk His way. Or the branches are connected to the vine, and because of that, we can grow in a way that's pleasing to God. So he says the same thing in the 11th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, but here's what I would like for you to see. He took out the stony heart and gave us in its place a heart of flesh, a new heart. It means the most interior organ, also used widely for feelings or intellect or the will, or likewise for the center of anything, the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the understanding, the conscience, the moral character, as a seat of appetites or emotions and passions and courage. Now this word flesh, and this is what really caught me. This word flesh derives from a Hebrew word, basar, meaning it's a properly to be flesh or full or rosy. But figuratively, it means to be cheerful or to announce glad news or a messenger or to preach or to publish or to show forth or to bear or carry or tell good things, to announce salvation perhaps from its freshness. So what it is, it's a freshness of our body, and in turn it changes that heart. It gives us a new heart. It changes our mind. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we understand. It changes our appetites, our emotions. We don't get mad when somebody says, you don't have a job. It changes our desires. And that's what that new heart that he gave us does for us. In verse 25 of the 11th chapter of Ezekiel, it says this, "Then I spake unto them of captivity," or those that were carried away, "all things that the Lord had showed me." See, there's something different that takes place in the lives of a believer of the Almighty God, of in the lives of one that God has changed and taken out that old, cold, stony heart of ours and given us a new heart. And now we want to go out and talk about the things of God and tell people about, oh, guess what God did? God did this and God did that. How do you know? We saw it. You saw it. I saw miracles take place in this sanctuary this morning. I saw a man walk to the altar this morning that he would look you in the eyes and tell you, never will I come to that altar. Perfect. But it's God that's in the heart-changing business. As a matter of fact, you and I are here tonight because God changed our heart. He changed our appetites. He changed the way we think. He changed the way we talk. But how does he do that? Well, Ezekiel says that he says that he's going to put his spirit within us. And see, that's the difference in all of the world. Is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you and I. Because then there is no confusion, Brother Portman, and we don't have to wonder how many there are or which one do we pray for, because he shows us when he gives us his Spirit, our eyes are open and it's like, oh, it's a fresh breath. It's something, I've never seen that before. Well, it's because you were blind, but now you see. And every one of us here tonight are here and have had that experience happen to us, and therefore we can have the same testimony, really, and proclaim and claim the testimony that the Lord healed us. We were blind, and now we see. I'm not going to teach very long tonight, but I promise you that I believe with all my heart when you leave here, you are going to have a different confidence level in God. And it's time that the church wakes up and realizes who we are, like the pastor said, not because of who we are, but whose we are and who we belong to and who has supercharged us Amen. So if you would tonight, go with me to the book of John. And this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. And see, I'm going to do something totally different tonight. I've come unto you so far from the book. Am I in the book? Do you agree with me that I've come to you in the book? Well, I'm going to come to you in just a moment here in the electronic book, but it's still the book. But I want to do that just to, well, for a number of reasons. And I'm just going to be transparent and say, first of all, it's going to help me to get to some things faster. But it's going to show us that even in the modern times, this thing has never crashed. I can drop it and it still works. As a matter of fact, usually when it falls, I'll look at my wife and I'll say, the word is alive. And it is alive. Even in this day and age, in the year 2017, as I watched a young man walk to this altar this morning, I saw, yep, the word is still alive. Way back in the Old Testament, when God spoke through the prophets, can these dry bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. You can bring them back alive. You can breathe life in them. You can give them sight again. You can hang flesh back on them. Amen. So, the 9th chapter of the book of John. It says this, and Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, man's reasoning, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus gives him an answer from another world. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now these works are deeds of God that he's able to do because he is God manifested in the flesh. But could I just let you in on something and tell you, as our faith arises and that we believe that we really are the body of Christ, the same ability is in each and every one of us, and we don't have to take a backseat to cancer or anything. Like, cancer does not scare the kingdom. Amen. But the world and the media and all the noise want, that's terrible. It's terrible. That's terrible. But it's just noise. And that's why the Lord is, I believe, informing the church once again, focus on me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Our sustenance and our very life-giving comes from the vine, and that's from him. And as it flows from him to us, we're alive. And the noise doesn't bother us. We can shut the noise out. So when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. I think of the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Notice, open the eyes, teach them. But then they had to be washed too. Isn't it amazing here that the Lord opened his eyes and he did something great for him, but then he told them to complete it, go wash. And if you read on there, it goes on and says, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. After he was washed, he had a different perspective. And what I want to show you tonight is what took place in this little portion of Scripture is the Lord himself took enough of his DNA and he shoved it in the eye sockets of a blind man. And now all of a sudden the same makeup that was Jesus was in him. And now he had a different DNA and something different was going to come of his life. And he could see things like he never saw them before. We live in a world that DNA is something where they use it to open up old cases and justice can be had because the ruiner of life can be brought to justice. And can I tell you, it's the same way when the Lord puts his DNA into us, the ruiner of life can be brought to justice and shut out of our life, and he can take over and change things for you and for I. But because our makeup and our DNA becomes different, the spirit and the water. Isn't it amazing that at Calvary, there was blood that fell before the Roman soldier pushed the spear in his side. But when he did, what happened? What came forth? Blood and water. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. And in Scripture, we can see that, listen, the Lord started this DNA thing a long time ago, and that what he was showing us was that the water and the blood was going to allow for the DNA of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to flow through the church or his body once again. Do you know that the two major ways to recover DNA are through blood and saliva? And because that the blood route is so intrusive as far as how they have to go to recover it and what they have to do to preserve it and take it and do the things they need to do to get the DNA from it, they've discovered that saliva is a lot easier and less intrusive. So what's that all about? What it's about is Jesus went through the intrusive part for you and I and shed his blood. And now what he's given to us is just to speak his word, if you will. And through that spoken word, something takes place in the life of that one that hears it. And like he says, my word shall not return unto me void. It will complete that. It will accomplish that which he intended it to accomplish. So way back then, Jesus already knew that saliva was the easy way. And he made a little clay and he anointed or rubbed it on the face of the blind man. Another caption in the Bible talks about how he led the blind man out of town and took care of it. The one where he says, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. Well, Better put a little more in them. Then he saw every man clearly. You see, as our time continues with Jesus, we start to see things a little. Oh, listen, if God can change me, he can change him. If God can do what he did with me, there's no limitations. We see things different. He took them out of town. Why? Because just like the pastor talked about this morning, had to put the whiners and the doubters and the laughers, put them out of here. Don't listen to that. Because that's not how my God handles it. Brother Monday, when the pastor talked this morning about the bloody coat, here's what I'll add to that. You know what? If they'd have done DNA back then, they'd have took that coat and tested it and said, that's not my father's blood. That's false blood. The blood that flows through my father is a healing blood, a prosperous blood. A little spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto them, go wash, and he did. Now, the neighbors therefore, and they which were before, had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? It was him. But here's what I want you to see too. When Jesus, in the beginning of this version of Scripture, when the Bible says, and as Jesus walked by, he saw the blind man. What that word saw means is, yes, he saw him with his eyeballs, like I can see the pastor from here. I can still see that far. But what it also means is that he perceived and he knew some other things, some emotions. He saw a lot more than just what was at eye level, if you will. He could see inside. And what's awesome is, as you go further down in this scripture, verse 15, it says, then again the Pharisees, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Guess what? That word see there, it's different than the first word when he saw, when his sight was restored. Now this one shows that now he sees things even a little deeper. He perceives about the things of God, and he understands who Jesus is, just like you and I do, all because the Lord put some DNA in him. So what is so important about DNA? Great question. So I took the liberty for you to study some things, and I got this from the genetic link, and it says, get connected. Why does DNA replicate? DNA replicates so that new cells can be created. The replication allows old or damaged cells to create replacement cells that support the life of organism. DNA replication permits new cells to have the same genetic material as the parent cells. The genetic material informs the cells of their role in helping the organism live. And you know, when Jesus puts his DNA in us, now all of a sudden we have a dominant DNA of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it tells us how we're supposed to walk, how we should do this, and we understand his word, his instruction to a greater degree. The full answer, DNA replication is also necessary for reproduction. The reproductive cells, or gametes, contain the DNA of the parent that is to be passed on to the offspring. The DNA replication, the production of gametes, would be impossible, and the species would cease to exist without it. So why do you think that the Lord has transferred to you and to I his DNA? Well, we know naturally it's so that the church can live and continue on and become stronger and become bigger. For his glory, he would have it that none would perish. But not only that, but while we're here, and like his word says, he would give us life and life more abundantly, so that while we are here, we do not need to live in fear. And God shows us within this very body right here that he's alive and well and at work in the body of Christ, which is you and I. Are you with me so far? All right. So what is the purpose of DNA? The primary purpose of DNA is to store hereditary information within the cells of all living things. It is a molecule that encodes the genetic instructions. So he puts what he puts inside you and I for a reason. Now, saliva is one of the most accessible of our body's biofluids, making saliva sample collection easy and non-invasive. Saliva also harbors a wide spectrum of genetic data that can be used for genetic research and diagnostic applications. It might surprise you to know that much confusion surrounds the source of DNA in saliva. In recent years, we've seen a marked increase in the desire to understand the genetic basis of disease as a means to improve patients. Now listen to this. Understand the genetic basis of a disease as a means to improve the patient. Remember what the disciples asked Jesus? Whose sin was it that caused him to be blind? Was it his or was it the Father's? And Jesus said, neither. It was for the glory of God to be pronounced, if you will, or to be shown. So it's not up to us to understand why the world is so far out of control or out of shape. What we need to realize is it doesn't matter. We have the information within our DNA to pass on to them that can help straighten out that mess. And it's not our responsibility to try to have to figure out how to fix it. We just have to bring them to the one who can fix it. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one who fixed you and I. So while the range of research spans the spectrum of known diseases, all genetic research projects share one vital building block in that they require DNA as a starting point. So what was our starting point? We had to have a little bit of the DNA of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords put into our life to allow for us to see things differently. DNA has been extracted from white blood cells. White blood cells are an excellent source of large amounts of high-quality genomic DNA. However, because of the invasiveness and cost of obtaining, transporting, and processing blood samples, researchers and clinics have long searched for alternative methods. Over the past few years, saliva has become recognized as a very important and reliable alternative to blood samples for genetic research. And more, what exactly is it that makes saliva such a good alternative to blood for genetic applications? It all comes down to the source of the DNA, saliva. It's all about the source. It's all about who it comes from. And so This is nothing new. The Lord showed us what it was in thousands of years ago when he put a little bit of it on the eyes of a blind man and put just enough of his DNA inside him that all of a sudden, every time he was asked, oh, I don't know. All I know is a man named Jesus touched me and he saved me, and now I was blind, but now I see. He changed him to the point where that no matter what, even those that tried to intimidate him and bully him to try to refuse, if you will, his healing, he just kept telling them. Well, he even said, are you going to believe me? I've told you twice already, but yet you ask me. And then they went to the parents and said, is this your son? Is he the one that was blind? How did it happen? And they said, this is our son, but we weren't there when it happened. But he's of age. Why don't you ask him? And when they asked him, guess what? His story hadn't changed. He said, Jesus touched me and I was blind, but now I see. Could I be so bold as to say tonight that the story hasn't changed? And it never will change, because his word is yea and amen. And if he said it, it's going to take place. And you and I need to just stick with the story and stick with the promise and stick with all that his word tells us. No matter what the world tells us we can't say or we can't do or we can't be, we can be all things through Christ, which strengthens us. The story hasn't changed. Just keep telling them. I don't know what you say about that, but here's what I can tell you. I used to be blind, but the Lord touched me, and now I see. All because of a little DNA. This is what this company says. There is no requirements to insert an object or substance into the mouth of the user or anywhere else to get the specimen. You know what? Jesus took the spear in the side. We don't even have to take that. All we have to do is speak what he's done to us. But it says there are no requirements for that. The user simply holds the tube and spits into it. In my opinion, that's the true definition of a non-invasive DNA collection. As we like to say at DNA Genetech, just spit. That's it. And that's all the Lord did, was he went to the blind man, just spit, rubbed it on him, and that's it. You know, it's so amazing when the Lord moves in and speaks to your heart and speaks to your mind and shows you things in his word that are so simplistic, but yet so powerful. And what I want every heart and every mind in this room to understand and take with you tonight is inside of you, you have the DNA of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's no devil in hell. There's no disease. There's no evil report. There's no nothing that can trump what you and I have inside of me and you, because he simply came into our lives, invested in us, put that new spirit in us, like Ezekiel said, and now has given us the ability to do the very same to people in this world that who are in the same condition, that are in the same condition that you and I were in before the Lord found us. Amen. By simply speaking it. And I'm just going to leave you with this thought. And this is what I thought of today. I was not too long ago, I was at another church on a Sunday morning when I was out of town for the hunting season. But I was in church Sunday morning, not in the woods. And there was a particular person preaching, and the sun was shining in the window, and while he was speaking and preaching, you could see, because the sun was shining, what was coming from his mouth. You could hear the words of Jesus, but there was spit. Oh, that's gross. Here's something for you to think about. What about the fact that that spittle contains the DNA of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it falls to the carpet, and I'm wondering, whoever walks through that stuff or is exposed to that stuff can't get a little bit of it in them somehow, some way. And if you simply speak the word of God, speak it. It brings life to the hearer, because the Almighty God's DNA flows in you and I. Would you stand with me tonight?
Years ago, we didn't even know what DNA was. And we've all read the stories or heard the reports of somebody who was in jail for 20 or 30 years. They were convicted of something that, well, they were innocent of. And then somehow they did a DNA test, and it released them from prison. You know, that's your story, that's my story. 30 years, I was guilty. And then they took a sample of DNA from heaven, and it exonerated me, and now I am free. I'm more free than I've ever been in my entire life, and so have you. It's incredible what our God has done. And as we walk into the waters of baptism, that blood and water is applied to us. And now we are more free than we have ever been in our entire life. It seems so silly to the world that simple act of walking into a baptism could make us a candidate for heaven and free us from all of the guilt of all of our life. And yet that's exactly what our Lord did for us. And sometimes as a preacher, I feel intimidated to keep preaching about baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but it's our stock and trade, folks. That's who we are. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Glory to God. I don't know if I could contain myself if I was having my hair cut and somebody was saying, "The Trinity is just so confusing. Get me out of this chair." Glory to God. Amen. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. The altar's open. Thank you, Brother Bear. It's an awesome message.